The reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, reading the first 10 verses. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that, the Lord is good. The living stone and chosen people. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sheila. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we've just sung that your word inspires us. We pray this morning that you would indeed teach us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of weeks ago, I asked the question, do you remember the choosing of sports teams at school? From the pained conversations I've had with people since, a number of you clearly do. That idea of choice being not very attractive. But sometimes, actually, the idea of choice is very attractive. Let's change the picture to a child in a living room. There are many visitors to the family that day, and one of them picks up the child's favourite cuddly toy in order to sit down. Immediately, the child runs across, grabs the toy and goes, "That's mine!" and cuddles it. The room smiles at her for her choice and passion. God wants us to know that his choice of his people is not made from the perspective that there's no one else he could choose, but because he has a passion for his people who he has rescued. He wants us to find our sense of value and worth from belonging to him. The world will tell us there are all sorts of reasons why we have value and worth, but actually God says the reason you have value and worth is because you are mine. Peter has explained in the first chapter and a half of the book, which we haven't done, that life normally for a Christian is to involve facing trials. That in order to do that, to face the trials properly, we need to look forward to heaven and to live lives that reflect the very character of God. But he's also been talking about how we need each other. And it's this theme that Peter will continue to explain as he explains how God builds his church, chooses his people, and fulfills his plans. These words are meant to encourage us. To encourage us when the church is going through difficult days, but also when it is going through good times because of God's goodness. So what do we learn today? We learn, first of all, that when God is at work, we will recognize that we are built on Christ. Verse 4. As we come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. Paul has been talking about church as family. Now he talks about church as God's temple. The picture would have meant an immense amount to Peter's original readers. And it puts our focus in the right place, looking first at what God has done and is doing before we look at what we gain. Peter wants us to understand that God's church is that. It's God's church. It's not our church. God forbid it ever is called Anthony's church. That would be terrible. It is God's church. I can remember when I was a curate, one of the people, godly man, praying, and my vicar's name was Rogers. We pray for Anthony and Rogers' church. And I'm going, no! We, God's church. That's what we are. God is the one who is building a people for himself. God is the one who is the builder. What an amazing truth that is. And so we're told that, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. Peter wants us to understand that Jesus is a living stone. This church is a living building. We're not left in the past. We are to be marked out by life and resurrection. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. You and I this morning are here because we recognize what God does. He builds. He builds us into a family. He is the one who is the builder. Now, Peter, who writes this book, remember, is the one who heard Jesus say to him, I will build my church. Imagine how precious that thought was to him. But it is to us too. But notice too that within this, there is very much the recognition that people will reject this stone. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. That's just so true, isn't it? How many times do you have conversations and people go, I'm really happy with the idea there might be a God. It's this Jesus stuff I really struggle with. If only you could get rid of the Jesus stuff, I'd be all right. Because it's there that they stumble and fall. You and I have to recognize that as God builds his church, there will be difficulties and people will reject what we stand for. But never doubt that God is in the building business. I have been privileged to be here at Christ Church St. Andrews. This year it will be 20 years. None of us expected it to be that long. Let me tell you that now. But as I look back, I can see people who have come to faith. I can see people whose faith is so much stronger than it was. I can see people serving in places that they never expected to serve. Leading home groups, preaching, leading services, doing all sorts of things. We have seen so much of God building his church, and today we rejoice in that. Do we wish it was more? Of course we do. But actually, let's rejoice in God's goodness to us. We are built on Christ. Secondly, we are built so we belong. Verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We like to know we belong, don't we? Have you ever been in one of those uncomfortable places where you're in a group and you think, I really don't belong here? It's not a very nice experience, is it? You think, how can I get out? Is there a quick way? Peter wants us to know that if we believe in Jesus, we belong to his temple, his church. And so he says, we too are living stones. If we come to Jesus, if we believe in him, then we belong. But what does it mean to belong? Well, fortunately, Peter doesn't leave us in the dark. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. How does that make you feel? Isn't it an amazing sentence? But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We are chosen. We are a royal priesthood. Now, I know the Church of England has blown this by calling me a priest. Everyone here is a priest. Okay? That's the Bible's picture. Why is that? Because each of us have equal access to God. You don't need me to stand between you and this table anymore. That's why at communion I always stand on this side, so I'm not in the way. We have equal access. It is funny how that sometimes isn't what people believe. The number of times people have said to me, Anthony, will you pray for me because you must have a hotline to God? And I'm thinking, why? Why do you think that? We all have equal access. We are a holy nation. What a privilege that is. Notice in all this, it's plural. He doesn't say, but you are a chosen person, a royal priest. You can't have a nation of one. And I tried as much as I could think of a link to the Eurovision Song Contest last night, and I just couldn't get one. However hard I tried, I really did try. So if anyone's brighter than me, that's going to distract you forever. Sorry, don't go there. You know, we are in this together. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And if that doesn't make you feel amazing, I don't know what will. What a privilege it is that Christ Church St. Andrews is that. Of course, we're not the only church that that's true of. Please don't hear that. But we are part of God's amazing people. We seek to be a church that recognizes we're built on Christ. We're built so we belong. But we're built for a purpose. Did you notice that Peter doesn't want us to stop halfway through verse 9 and go, oh, how wonderful, how special we are. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are expected to be a light to Herne Bay. That is not an optional extra. It is part of who we are. How will we do that? We will declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. As a church family, you and I have that immense privilege of declaring the praises of God. This morning, as the band had a practice at 15, two people came in and sat just about there. Eastern Europeans visiting from Margate. They came in because they heard the music. That's not the only way we declare the praises of God, by the way. We do it when we run the South Room. We do it when we run Bay Ignite. We do it every Sunday. We do it at Check It Out. We do it every time each of us as individuals talks to people about God. What an immense privilege we have to be able to speak of this God who's called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, I know that's a challenge too, and I know we need to continue to work at making sure that we don't just sit going, aren't we doing well? We have experienced the blessing of God in so many ways. We've heard of one more way today. But that is not for us to sit here going how great we are. That is for us to go and declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. And I look forward to the year ahead and think, wouldn't it be amazing if in a year's time we go, this is what God has done through us. You and I have that immense privilege of knowing that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. But we have that knowledge so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Are you on board with that? Are you excited to see what God will do? I hope so. What a task, what a responsibility, but what a joy to have a real purpose. When I left my role as an accountant, my senior management were a bit sort of, why are you doing it, Anthony? And I said to them this, I've loved being an accountant. I know that's a sadness for many. But I've loved it. I've really enjoyed it. But in this role, I can only change people's life now. I'm going to a place where I can talk about their eternal future and see that change. And that doesn't compare. All of us, wherever we are, have that amazing privilege of being able to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. We're not all called to do it the same way. We're not all called to do it in the same place. But we are called as a church family to encourage each other to do this. Yes, to do it all together, but to encourage each other individually in our day-to-day lives to be people who declare God's praise. May this year we see that happen more and more, as individuals and as a church family. Let's pray together. Lord God, you place each of us in families, in neighborhoods, work situations, leisure situations, where we have opportunities to speak of you. You call us corporately to do that too, to declare your praises. Help us this year individually and corporately to be built on the Lord Jesus, to belong to him and to each other, and to see you grow your kingdom through what we do. Lord, bless us in ways more than we can think or imagine possible. In Jesus' name, amen.